Always we ramble that river and I, all along your green valley I'll work till I die. My land I'll defend with my life if it be, cause my pastures of plenty must always be free.
Woody would return home from his travels each day and tell Mary and his children what he'd seen. He did much of his songwriting at home.
Woody sang and played all the time.
Mary Guthrie.
Yeah, I've heard him sit down and flip out two or three different songs maybe while I was getting dinner.
Standing down in Portland town one day, I was standing down in Portland town one day. I was standing down in a Portland town one day. Hey, I come from Louisiana where the red fish in the bay. I come from Louisiana where the red fish in the bay. Lord, I come from Louisiana where the red fish in the bay. Said, what your way does the Columbia River run? Said, what your way does the Columbia River run? What your way does the Columbia River run? From the Canadian Rockies to the ocean of the setting sun.
He stayed pretty much home in Portland. He was pretty much home at nights. He wasn't out like he was in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, he had a lot of cronies. He had a lot of people he knew. A lot of places he could go, there were a lot of parties he played for, and he was going, going, going.
Lord, how many rivers have you got in a Portland town? Hey, the Columbia River is the river that they all run down. I walk down the road and I see your Bonneville Dam. Walk down the road and I see your Bonneville Dam. Walk the rocky road and I see your Bonneville Dam.
I think probably he did as much writing at night as he ever did by day. Woody wrote so much stuff that there might be a stack of papers this high to throw out every morning that they wanted or needed.
Woody's nocturnal writing habits were not due to the pressures of his BPA job. He'd always been a prolific writer of not only songs, but stories and poetry as well, prompting Guthrie biographer Joe Klein to remark that Woody played the typewriter better than the guitar. Shortly after his BPA job was over, Woody stayed for a couple of days with author Studs Terkel in Chicago.
And that's when I discovered about the giftedness of Woody Guthrie, how he could write songs at the drop of a hat. And Woody could write, you know, he'd come in from a tavern at night, and I was sleeping. Everybody was asleep, come in 3-4 in the morning, and you hear him typing away on my portable. And the next day, I'd see all these sheets of paper in a wastebasket, single space, about 20 pages. It was Joycean. It was Thomas Wolfe. It was a wild kind of writing, you know. And there it was. I never saved those sheets. I should have.
The 30 days Woody Guthrie spent in Portland were the most productive of his life. He was driven not only by the discipline of his boss, Steve Kahn, but was also inspired by the beauty of the Northwest and by the cause of public power, Bill Merlin.
One of the fellows that did take him around took him primarily to Grange meetings and other such organizations where public power issues were being discussed. Low rates for electricity. Electricity going to places that electricity had never gone before, to the individual farms and individual communities rather than being highly centralized. Woody would either sing his songs or would just observe the activities going on.
Good morning, Mr. Captain. Good morning, man. I'm just a stranger traveling through your land. You need a right good worker on your big grand coolie dam. I like to settle down, but I ramble all the time. Like to settle down with this woman and kids of mine. But a place to settle down, Captain, is a pretty hard place to find. Well, I like to work, and I work every time I can. I got a calyx in the palm of both of my hands. Rambling around from place to place is hard on a family man.
And I think he believed in the promise that the projects brought, because it opened up a new future of potential jobs for the people that were having hard times. And you hear that in his songs. So when the New Deal promised that a lot of people would be put to work as an effort to deal with the Depression, Woody was in favor of that. So however he might have felt about big government, big business, big projects, big money, there was big employment and paychecks. Woody was in favor of putting people to work, downtrodden or otherwise.
Well, I like to work, ain't gonna beg and steal. The more I'm working, the better it makes me feel. But my wife and kids get to be rough every time they miss a meal. I'm a hard rock man, and I come from a hard rock town. Back in my hometown, I was a man of some renown. When I take a jackhammer down in a hole, there's gonna be some rock come down. That Columbia River rolls right down the line. Columbia water tastes like sparkling wine. But the water's in the dust bowl tastes like pickling brine. The money I draw from working on the Coulee Dam, my wife will meet me at the kitchen door, stretching out her hand. She'll make a little down payment on a 40-acre tract of land. Well, we'll farm along the river, work it from sun to sun. Walk along the river and listen to the factories hum. I think to myself, great goodness alive, look what we done done. May take some water from the mountain, mix it up with rain. Take some metal from the mountain, melt it up again. Stir it up with power from the Grand Coulee Dam, and you've got a big factory. Take some water from the valley, mix it up with snow. Take a rambling family traveling down this road. Mix it up with a little bit of sunshine. Man, and you ought to see the green things grow. Standing on the mountain, looking out across the sea. Columbia River's a mighty pretty sight to see. Gonna settle down and live the rest of my life by the C-O-U-L-E.
He was looking for something. He was trying to prove something. He was. For the downtrodden people, I know he was. But as far something for himself or even for his family, it didn't make that much difference. You couldn't possibly know how Woody was unless you knew him. He was never happy too long a period with any one thing.
Back in 1933, living in the dust was killing me. Back in 1934, the dust it rose and blowed some more. Long come 1935, blowed my crop about 9 miles high. Long about 1936, me and my woman and the devil have a fix. Me and my woman and the devil have a fix. Me and my woman and the devil have a fix. Long
about 1939, we fanned our tail to the Oregon line. Fanned our tail to the Oregon line, fanned our tail to the Oregon line. We got a hold of a piece of land, 15 miles from Coolidge Dam. 15 miles from Coolidge Dam, 15 miles from Coolidge Dam. Now the Coolidge Dam's a sight to see, makes us eat like a society. Makes us electricity, make it electricity. Well, Oregon State is mighty fine if you're hooked onto the power line. But there ain't no country extra fine if you're just a mile from the end of the line. I'll milk my cows and turn my stone till the big grand coulee comes along. My eyes is crossed, my back is cramped, trying to read the Bible with a claw lamp.
When his time with the BPA was over, Woody left Mary and the kids behind and hit the road, hitchhiking east. His first ride was with the late Oregon judge Gus Solomon, who had met Woody earlier in Portland.
As I was leaving the city, and we were going down the Columbia River Highway at that time, I saw Woody on the side of the road with his instrument on his back and the little, not a suitcase, but a bag. And I said, I stopped the car and I said, Woody, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to New York. And I said, well, how are you going to get there? And he said, well, I'm going to hitchhike. Well, I told him I couldn't take him to New York, but I was going to the Dalles, which was then 97 miles away, I think. And so Woody got in, and we were driving down the road, and I found out that Woody had no money at all, and that he told me that he was going to try to make his way across the country by playing. So I gave him $10, I recall.
End of the line, I guess I come to the end of the line. Guess I come to the end of the line, I guess I come to the end of the line. Ain't no country extra fine if you ain't miles the end of the line. Ain't no country extra fine if you ain't onto the power line. Well, I guess I come to the end of the line. I guess I come to the end of the line. I guess I come to the end of the line. I guess I come to the end of the line.
Woody Guthrie made it back to New York in June of 1941, where he joined Pete Seeger and the Almanac Singers. Mary stayed on in Portland for the rest of the summer. The time Woody and Mary Guthrie spent together in Portland would be their last. They were divorced a few months later. Woody's performing career lasted until the mid-50s, when he was hospitalized with Huntington's chorea, the hereditary disease that ended his life in 1967. Woody Guthrie has become America's best-known folk composer, and many of his songs have become classics like This Land Is Your Land and Roll on Columbia. World War II interrupted work on the Bonneville Power Administration's film, and many of Guthrie's Columbia River songs were lost for over 40 years until their discovery by Bill Merlin in 1983. Roll on Columbia, the story of Woody Guthrie in the Pacific Northwest, is a special production of Oregon Public Broadcasting. The program was written, produced, and narrated by Michael O'Rourke. Production assistance was by Mary Orr. All of the music heard in this program is part of the Columbia River Collection, created by Woody Guthrie for the Bonneville Power Administration in 1941. Archival recordings were provided courtesy of the Bonneville Power Administration and the Army Corps of Engineers. Special thanks to Bill Merlin.